Section 8.3, The Advisor. The setting, the offices of President Teddy Roosevelt and J.P. Morgan, immediately following a rather heated conversation, 1902, each with an aide at his side. Look at the man seated behind his great desk. Do you know who that is? That is the youngest president so far. He's probably using some very colorful language at this moment, all of it directed at the great billionaire J.P. Morgan. He is probably yelling at the top of his lungs that the man is an insufferable horse's patoot, an ignoramus, an unenlightened egotist, a bully, or worse. But then his aide reminds him that one of his mottos is speak softly and carry a big stick. Ah, yes, one of Teddy's famous quotes. But that refers to foreign policy, not domestic, right? The president tries to explain to his aide that his "bust the bad trusts" slogan is more applicable at the moment. But the aide interjects with, "But, Mr. President, how does the public make the distinction between a good trust and a bad trust?" Teddy grunts, "A bad trust is a trust up to no good." The aide continues, "I know what you mean, and you know what you mean. But the public is used to being told what to do by these powerful men. Wall Street has been always shaking the men who occupy your seat. They don't know how to take orders from Washington." Teddy's rage continues to burn. "Philandering misanthropes! Do you know he had the audacity to say, 'Why can't I send my man over to talk to your man?' What does he mean by that? Like he's too good to talk to me? He was talking to the President of the United States, not one of his lackeys. How dare he?" But his aide knows that his wrath will soon burn out. It always does. And he knows how to handle him better than anyone. That's one of the reasons they have gotten as far as they have, and one of the reasons they will continue to go even farther. Password B. See the other man? Looking perplexed? That's one of the most influential men in the country. He's the world's first billionaire, having made most of his money with his company, U.S. Steel. But his pockets run deep, from banking to railroads, urban transit, communications, insurance, electric companies, rubber refining, paper production, sugar refining, copper, and other industries too numerous to count. J.P. Morgan runs them all. He's ranting and raving to his aide at the moment. He was used to having cooperation from the White House. He was used to getting his own way. He grunts, "Remember when Cleveland needed my help with government bonds? I was there. Who does this little upstart dandy think he is, with this funny way of talking and intolerable sayings like 'bully'? Insufferable! Why couldn't we have worked this out in private, like gentlemen?" the magnate is wondering. He didn't mean to imply that the president wasn't a gentleman, did he? He was full well aware of Mr. Roosevelt's influential New York family and connections. But he was really only an accidental president. The firm, J.P. Morgan & Company, was used to doing things in private, under the table, if you will. Why, he has been advising presidents and helping make economic policy now for, how many years? More than he could remember. It seems like second nature to him now. Besides, he has to look out after his own interests, didn't he? Isn't any man, big or little, entitled to that? His aide, more pondering to himself than to his boss, wonders if they will be able to find a way to cooperate with this new president. Perhaps these two headstrong men will always clash. If they could only see how much alike they are. Well, bringing a lawsuit against the Northern Securities Company wasn't helping the situation any. What would be next? Using the government to stop strikes on the side of labor? Thin ice there. However, let's think. They both are influential. They both are charismatic, with strong followings. They both are from politically savvy families. Perhaps they could find some common ground. Yes. Perhaps it wasn't too late to find an area where they could work together for mutual interests and goals. National transportation? No. Communications? No. Natural resources? No. International trade? No. National defense? That might work. A fleet of ships, a merchant marine, a shipping trust. Yes, yes, that might just work. Password 9.